I thought a couple of weeks ago would be one of my last opportunities to speak to you, and Robert C.B. asked if I would take Lauren's place today, and that's big shoes to fill. And I've been thinking all week, well, actually for 2 weeks now, I've been thinking about what can I say? What can I tell you? And you know, I had different topics going through my mind, and some great sermon outlines were coming up. And I'll probably need quite a few whenever I go down to Juneau. But nothing seemed to gel. And I'll be honest with you. I'll lay it out in front of you. I was almost in a panic last night, thinking, "What in the world am I going to talk about?" I mean, I've got a lot of ideas, but nothing is seeming to click for me. And finally, I was like, "Well, I got to lay down. I got to lay down." And while I was laying there, the baby was sleeping in the other room, and Amanda had fallen asleep, and my mind just started racing over things. And I was praying, you know, "God, give me something. Give me something that fits. Give me something that I can share with the congregation." And He did. An idea, my mind caught on something, so I got up and I went and I studied for a few hours last night, and And I was looking at the people in the Old Testament who had came into the presence of God. Abraham, he was called by God out of his normal lifestyle, out of the land where he was born, out of everything that he knew, to go to some place that he didn't know. He'd never seen. Matter of fact, he didn't even know when he was going to stop. And coming into contact with God changed his life. And then you have a little bit later in Genesis 32, Jacob, he had betrayed his brother. He was a usurper. He went to find a wife, and he got some tricks played on him by his uncle. But he ended up coming back with two wives and a lot of children. And as he was getting to coming back to Canaan, there's this guy that he wrestles with all night long, and he won't let him go. And as dawn was arising, the fellow struck him in the hip and made him lame in his hip. But yet, Jacob still held on. Jacob still held on to him, and the fellow said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want you to bless me. I want you to bless me." And so, the man changed his name from Jacob to Israel. He who wrestles with God. And his life was changed. And whenever he came back home, he was a man of God, not the rebellious brother that had left in fear of his life before. When he came back, he was a man of God. And his life was changed with his encounter with God. Then you have Moses, this guy who thinks that he's grown up in the Pharaoh's house, but he knows that he's a Jew, and he wants in his heart to save his people, and so he tries to do it on his own terms, and he falls flat on his face, runs away to the land of Midian, stays there for 40 years. He's an old man watching sheep. Broke down, useless. And at that point, he came into contact with God, and it changed his life forever. But then you have the Pharaoh, who also, whenever he came into contact with God, even though he didn't turn into the way that Abraham or Jacob or Moses turned, but yet his life was no less changed. Then you have Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4, who thinks a lot of himself, and then God says, "You think so much of yourself, well, your sovereignty has been taken away from you." And God showed him a little bit about what sovereignty means, who was in control, and his life was forever changed. You see, church, we cannot come into contact with God without being changed. You can't come into contact with God without being changed. And in Matthew 1, in Matthew 1, in verse 20, Joseph had found out that his betrothed was with child, was pregnant. And he was going to, you know, put her away but not call her down for, you know, being unfaithful. Okay. That's a good way to put it. Being unfaithful. And he was just going to put her away. And then an angel came to him and says this in verse 20. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid, and take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through his prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And in the same way that these men of old, who were for good or ill changed by coming into the presence of God, having an encounter with our God, whenever Jesus, the man who is God in the flesh, came to this world, he changed people's lives. Everywhere he went, not just in healing people, but in the way that he taught, in the way that he opened his heart to the people around him, the things that he showed the world changed people. Because that's what God does. God changes people. And there were some people who heard Jesus' teaching and didn't like it. And they were changed into the bad way. And as God changed people in the Old Testament by encounters with Him, and God changed people by His interaction with Him as He walked around on the earth as man, whenever He left, whenever Jesus left this earth, He left behind His body. He left behind the body of Christ, which is the church. And if you turn to Acts 2, the very first time we see the church, starting in verse 41, here's what we read about the church. So then those who had received His word, received the word of Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, So then those who had received His word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as any might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they're taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Whenever the body of Christ was created and established on this earth, the people who were a part of it changed folks' lives. In their interactions with one another, in their fellowship, in their love back and forth, with their dedication to the apostles' teaching, with the awesome things that were going on in Jerusalem at that time, people were being affected. And as we see a little later, there were some negative responses to some of the things that they were doing. The apostles were even persecuted and beat and put in prison. And all the way down into chapter 17 of the book of Acts, we read in verses 1 through 6 about Paul and Silas. And when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And according to Paul's customs, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, among with a large number of God-fearing Greeks and a number of leading women. But the Jews became jealous, and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason. They were seeking to bring them out to the people. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city's authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also." King James says, turn the world upside down. That's what the church did. They did great things. Great things that upset the balance. They changed the world. They changed people's lives. And in Romans chapter 1, Paul writing to the church in Rome. Notice this starts in Jerusalem, but by a couple of decades later, Paul writes to the church in Rome and he says in verse 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world." The church in Rome, which is decades down the line from that group of people who were saved on Pentecost, have their faith proclaimed to the world. And then in Colossians 1, verses 3 through 6, Paul tells the church in Colossae, which is a different part of the world, he says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel." You see, the church in Colossae, yet again, because of their love for the brethren, because of their faith, word was spread everywhere. We could keep going to, how about 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul says to these people in Thessalonica in verses 6 through 8, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word of truth in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." The struggles that the people in Thessalonica were going through and the faith that they showed in God made them examples to other people in the world. And so as we look at God encountering people and changing their lives and how Jesus, as God, came down to this earth and changed people's lives, and the church in the first century, when it was established as the body of Christ, changed people's lives. I want us to look 2,000 years down the road to Wasilla, Alaska, and I want you to know that you change people's lives. You look around you. You look at all the people who are gathered here. And I look at our fellowship that we have. The times, not just every Sunday whenever we meet over for a meal, but the spur of the moment get togethers we have, the being in and out of one another's homes. That fellowship binds us together and it changes our lives and our faith towards God. And in our daily walk, I don't know anybody like Rocky and Bonnie who in their daily walk, everyone knows that they're Christians, regardless of where they are. They know that Rocky and Bonnie are Christians and their faith is shown. Now look at Jim Cato and how much he influences people, him and Lori. And I look at John and Tafina Kakis, who are business owners, and David Wolf, that they have upstanding names in the community because of their Christ-like attitude and their business with people. And I look at families like the Collinses, that their family has grown so large and they spread out all over the place and they affect people. And then we have other family members like the Greens who went away a few years ago who are affecting people down south, or the Scots, or the Dittmores, and then, you know, poor Terry's went on to his reward. Not poor Terry, he's in a much better place now. But yet Mary Dean and Terry still affected people. And as people leave this congregation, we affect the world. You look at Ben and Danny and Mike in South Africa. Our lives, our faith, our fellowship with one another changes each other's lives. And then we look at the prayer. The prayers that we share for one another and for the people in the community affect those around us. You look at Jake and what happened with him, or Bonnie and her struggles, or Wendy and in the strength that she's shown in her faith over the years, and all the prayers that we've given on their behalf, and look where they are. And look at the prayers that are answered. And I want you to know that the same things in the church 2,000 years ago that were going on, the fellowship, the apostles' teachings, the faith that they were showing, the taking of the Lord's Supper together and communing in the Lord, those things are still taking place right here today. And as much influence as they had then, they can have that where we are. And then I want you to know. I want you to know that tell me to suck it up, Robert. Church, you have changed my life. You've changed my life. And I thank you. I thank you for the faith that you've shown me, for the support that you've given me over the years. When, you know, I was in a pretty low place after we first got here. I was working, and I was working, and I wasn't able to make it to church on Wednesdays. And you know, I'd gotten out of a school where there were Christians around me all the time, and I was totally being spiritually uplifted all the time. And then we came up here and I neglected the time with you, and I struggled because of it. And you know what you did in return? You allowed me to be one of your ministers. And that's so unworthy. I feel so unworthy of your trust. Now, Amanda and I are poised to go down to Juneau and to show them what Wasilla, the church here in Wasilla, is all about. And they're a great congregation down there. They are a great congregation, but I want you to know that we're going to go down there and we're going to share your love and your faith and your fellowship with them. Because that's what we do. Because we change people's lives. We change people's lives not because of who I am. I'm not changing people's lives because of anything that's about me. I change people's lives because we are the body of Christ. Individually, I'm a flawed human being. I got things I struggle with constantly, but Ephesians tells us that the church, Jesus is going to present to Himself, what does He say? Holy and blameless. The church, as the bride of Christ, as the body of Christ, is perfect in His eyes. And that's what changes the world. We change people for good or ill. Whether they want to be humble before God and give their life to Him and have wonderful things happen in their life, or whether they want to be prideful and stubborn and be pushed away, that's a choice. That's a choice that we each have today, because God does change our lives. And so I want to put out there to you, if you are not a member of the church, if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, to have your sins taken away, to become this body of Christ that changes people, you only have one other option. And we as a church here have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to glorify God and shine His light into the world. So if you've had some struggles and you need prayer, well, prayer works. As we've seen over and over and over again. So if you have problems, if you're a struggling Christian and you need prayers, you need help in your life, come forward. And if you want to join this awesome body of Christ, this body of Christ that stretches all the way around the world, please come to the front as we stand and sing.